Blog Talk Radio.
Then you just go.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome. This is Leslie Draper, and this is week 8 of our prosperity class, Target Prosperity 2016. I'm in studio tonight with my fabulous co-host and helper, Emily, and we send lots of good energy out to Courtney, who is not feeling well tonight, and I'm really glad that you are here. This is week 8, and we are so excited to be at week 8. So this is the last of the lesson, and then next week we have our wrap-up and how exciting we are to be moving through this wonderful class and excited that you are indeed part of it. So really glad that you're here. Okay, so let's go over for a moment the things that we've done, okay? Now, week 1, we did defining prosperity, abundance, what does it mean to you? We had you think about what you wanted out of this program, making the commitment to yourself, to the program, making sure that you understood that you had to feed your soul every single day. Now, the biggest issue I'm hearing from you when you write to me and ask me questions and stuff is you've stopped doing that. You know, that was week 1, and that was like the big rule for the entire duration of the class is every day you have to feed yourself something that promotes prosperity. That wasn't really an option. It's a requirement. So if you find yourself veering off the course, you know, I'm not having as much prosperity or I'm not feeling as motivated, it's probably because you stopped nourishing your soul. It's probably because you stopped feeding your soul the things that would keep you in alignment here. We went through Edwin Gaines' book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, the importance of tithing and giving, the importance of faith and belief, being a clear vessel for asking, and the 21-day challenge, which was 21 days of receptivity, and yes, forgiving yourself, including yourself. Then we hit week 5 with the programming, the brain dump. We had you look at your programming. We wrote new programming. And throughout this, you were to continue nourishing your soul. Week after week after week, you were to still be nourishing your soul every single day. Last week, we took a good look at prosperity and Christianity, a prosperity and spirituality. And this week is vision boards and creating and effective tools for creating prosperity. So we are now week 8, and we are really excited and glad that we are at this point. Okay. Sorry there. Emily shared a mini egg. And I think I'm choking on her mini egg, and I don't have anything to drink in here. Oh, wait, here's something. Oh, here, I'll drink some of Emily's. She's choking me, so she should give me her water. Sorry, it's our mini egg. She brought a mini egg. That's what she gets. See, you share her with me. I choke. I blame you. Okay. So, anyway, you can chat live in the chat room, or you can chat in the Target Prosperity group. And, you know, the group was always meant to be interactive for participants. So, you know, I made Emily and Courtney both admin of the group, and we were trying to keep things on, you know, on certain threads, but you were encouraged to post daily, post inspirational things that you found. So I hope that you're still doing this, even if you're not doing it in the group. I hope that you're still seeking inspirational resources for yourself, and you're following the guidelines we gave you at the very beginning, which is you have to feed your soul daily. You have to keep yourself inspired and excited about this process. Okay, so vision boards, vision boards, vision boards. Last month, I actually did a vision board class at the Southside Oklahoma City Public Library, and we didn't have a lot of turnout, but we did have a lot of fun. Those classes are free to the community, so it's kind of a, you know, a hit and miss if it will be successful or not. But we certainly had a lot of fun doing it. And I want to talk about vision boards because I think vision boards are a fabulous way to manifest. Now, every time I teach a vision board class, one of the first things people say is, well, can't I have a vision journal? The answer is yes, as long as you are taking it out and putting it somewhere prominent where you're going to see it every single day. If you make your vision journal, you fold it up and you shove it in a drawer or on a shelf somewhere, it's simply not going to work. The idea of a vision board is that a vision board is, you know, a large poster board, and you're putting the things that you want on it very easily displayed. You know, it's easy to see them. And then you hang that board somewhere where you see it often. The idea of a vision board is that it takes something that you want and it makes it manifest into something you have in your life. And I've been teaching and using vision boards for several years now, so I want to tell you some success stories. So one of the first times I did this with my children, and I was trying to teach them that they did not need to turn to mom to buy everything that they wanted. You know, that they were, my exact words, you are powerful little manifestors. You can create whatever you want, you know, without me having to be the one to do it for you. And so I got them vision boards, bought magazines, glue, scissors, and had them decorate their boards. Now, my oldest daughter did hers, and here's how it went down. She had on the vision board a pair of Converse tennis shoes that she found that she liked. They had some geometric patterns on them. She found a pair of UGG boots because that's what she really wanted. Then now she's decided she doesn't want UGG boots, but she put UGG boots on there, on her vision board. She put this holy festival in India where people, you know, run through the streets and you throw the colored powder at them. And then she chose a few other small things that she wanted on there. Now, I chose Disney World on the top left-hand corner of my vision board of that one. Now, fast forward over the next couple of weeks, and my daughter hung her vision board up in her room, so she looked at it every single day. One of my clients was moving, and she dropped this big box off of just goodies on my porch. It said, I'm moving. This stuff isn't going to go with me. If there's anything in here you want or your kids want, have it. If you don't want it, just trash it. The exact same pair of UGG boots that my daughter had on the vision board were in that box, and even in her size, literally in her size. So she manifested her first thing. That made her feel pretty good about the process. Then her dad went to the outlet mall, and they had this one pair of Converse on this. It was a clearance display, and literally they only had one size in them, which happened to be her size. And so he bought them on a whim because they were so cheap. I think they were like $10. And so he bought them and he brought them home. They were the same geometric design as the Converse on the vision board, the exact same pair of shoes. Then the third thing was, unknown to Emily, she invited Tatum to go on the color run, which is basically the same thing as that festival in India where they throw the colored powder at you. So Tatum manifested almost everything on her board, you know, relatively quickly. I'm going to say within 6 to 8 months. Without even really trying. And then mine, I put Disney World on my board, and it was just a couple weeks later that my soul sister called and said, hey, guess what? We bought a villa at Disney World, and you know, we want you guys to come and be our guests for 9 days at Disney World. So we manifested Disney World just like that as well. So the vision board really does work, but you have to actually make it. Okay, you have to actually make it before it does. And I have a success already from the last vision board I did at the library. I went in there in the top left-hand corner. The top left-hand corner seems to be powerful for me for some other reason. But the top left-hand corner of the new board has my heroes and people I want to meet. And it has on one half of it Bernie Sanders, and the other side of it is Pope Francis. Well, I met Bernie Sanders last week, so I manifested that. By having that on my vision board. And at the time when I did that, we did not know he was going to come to Oklahoma. You know, we had no idea, and I certainly didn't know I would be one of the very few people that got to shake his hand and meet him that day. So, I mean, I was just elated. So now there's Pope Francis. I don't know how that one's going to manifest, but I'm leaving it on my board because he is my hero. But interestingly enough, okay, so here's something kind of interesting on that, though. Because the archbishop that I meet with every week over the books, he just got a phone call, and he's going to be going back to Rome very soon to meet with Pope Francis. So I'm 1 degree of separation from that. Maybe it will happen. Maybe it will happen. I just find it so fascinating, honestly fascinating. So anyway, it was vision boards work, okay? I see them work all the time. Now, vision boards, you know, they apply to the same rules that we were talking about as for prosperity, and that is make your goals believable. You know, make them what you want. Make them what you want them to be. But don't go from, you know, a 500-square-foot efficiency apartment to a $2 million mansion. You know, go from that apartment to a house, to a bigger house, to a mansion. Go in incremental steps so that you can manifest these things better. I see Janice's question. Yeah. I just saw it too. Emily was flagging me. How often do I make a vision board? You should probably do a vision board every, you know, I would say at least every 3 months, if not every 2 months.
Or when your goals change.
When your goals change, every time you accomplish, you start, you know, accomplishing things on your vision board, it's time to make a new one. Every time you hit a new level of development, every time you think, okay, I'm ready to dream a little bit bigger now, then you would make a vision board. So I would say every 2 months is a good guideline, but at least every three. And, you know, not every vision board. Now, definitely one vision board a year, you need to go all out. You need to get the glitter. You need to get the glue, the markers. You need that thing to represent you. So if you're blingy, that vision board needs to be blingy. You know, if you're more country, shabby chic, then that vision board needs to be more country, shabby chic. It needs to represent you. Okay. Now, here's an interesting thought that just popped in my head. Would you make it represent how you want to be or represent how you are? I'm going to say how you want to be. So if you're trying to move into a different style, then, you know, that would be something that you could do. You could incorporate more of the style that you're trying to move into. You know, for example, I've always been someone who would wear very muted colors, browns, grays, khakis. I was not somebody that would wear a bright red shirt. But as I've gotten older, I find that I like the reds now. You know, I like pink. I never thought I would see a day that I liked pink. And I really like zebra with pink. So, it's okay to change your mind on how you want these things to look. And so, you know, have it represent how you want to be seen. And so your vision board should be done every, you know, 2 months to 3 months or something like that, just to keep them, you know, pretty good. Something occurred to me today that I'm going to tell Emily before, but you know all that great music we had from Daryl Clark at Morningstar, mm-hmm. Everybody,
yeah.
And all those songs? So when we had to change our Blog Talk over, it deleted all of our files.
Oh.
So we lost all of that. But it is on the my old computer.
Because we did a really good affirmation.
We did a great affirmation. I wanted to play it tonight.
Yeah.
And I logged in there, and it's completely gone. And unless we emailed it to each other that we could pull it off email, we don't have it. But anyway, so, okay. So your vision board should be done every 2 months. Now, again, you can do a journal. I like the idea of the different pages of a journal, and you can make notes and stuff. But, again, if you're only going to pull the journal out once every 2 weeks, it's not going to work as well. This is something that needs to be displayed prominently. Put it in your closet if you're afraid people see it. Put it in your bedroom. Put it somewhere so you have it. High five. Oh, see if you can get it uploaded to Blog Talk, and we'll play it. See if you can figure that out, tech girl. See, this is why you adopt adult children that know technology. That way they can fix your stuff because Emily had to come fix my computer. I never thought I would see that day. On a side note, I was the one who could hook like three VCRs together. You know, that was me. I knew how to hook VCRs. I was the one that would be called to hook up everybody's VCRs. This is before the HDMI cords, people. We're talking coax. Coax and splitters. Yeah, I knew what I was doing back then. Coaxial cable. Okay, so if Emily can get that song up, we're going to play it tonight, but we'll see how it works for her. Okay, so vision boards are an important part. Do them frequently. Now, if you like the idea of, you know, getting one of the poster boards that rolls up for easy storage, you can. But for like $1.47 at Walmart, and I really do need to shop elsewhere and see where else I can find them. I think I got some one time at maybe Target. You can get the poster boards that hold their shape. They're a little more hard, so they hold their shape better than the ones that roll up. I find those are easier to work with. Now, my early vision boards were on cork boards, and I would just use tacks and tack what I wanted on them. You can do that as well. There is absolutely no wrong way to make a vision board. If it's what you want and you're putting it on there, then you're golden, okay? Then you're golden. Okay, so the idea again is we're taking something we do not have and we're making it as a goal. Now, one thing that I don't see people put on vision boards very often that I would highly, highly recommend is affirmations or statements that I want to be true. Okay, so let's go there for a moment. On my corkboard vision board, I took my computer and I printed affirmations in different colors, and then I cut them out and I pasted them around the entire perimeter of the corkboard. And so I liked that idea. And so the affirmations were, one of mine was, all of my relationships are loving, healthy, and harmonious. Let's see. Oh, Shannon's needing the phone number in the...
Oh, sorry, I didn't post it.
Yeah, if you post it on the Facebook page, Shannon's having trouble connecting online. Okay, and we're gonna go for a brief walk here so I can grab an Excedrin. And I'm not gonna tell you what I was watching before the radio started, why I would need the Excedrin. We're not gonna go there. But if you put affirmations and statements that you want to be true on the vision board, as well as the photos of the things that you want, you will do a much better job of actually manifesting those things. And so it's great to have the house that you want on there. It's great to have the car that you want, the job that you want, the relationship that you want. You know, if you imagine the day that you find your soulmate, you know, you guys are going to have brunch together every Sunday and then go antiquing. That's what you want on this board. You want that represented. You want to wake up every morning and do yoga and then take a, you know, leisurely shower, getting ready to go to your very relaxed paced job. That needs to be on this vision board. This vision board is about you. It's about what you want your life to be. So there's really no wrong way to do it. It's just what you want. Okay, now I have to get my cords hooked back up here. Sorry, guys. I did disconnect a lot to go to the bottle of Excedrin. Okay, fantastic. Let me take this medicine and we'll get going. Okay, so, Jana wrote, the corkboard is good if you want to change it a lot. It is, and I do like the idea of the corkboard. But here's the challenge with a corkboard that you change a lot is that you forget everything that you've manifested. So what I would recommend doing is when you take something off the corkboard, put it in a journal, in a notebook, and mark down, you know, the date that you manifested this thing. That way you can keep track of it. The vision board is great because it helps you clearly see your wins, okay? It helps you clearly see everything that you've manifested and all the great things that you you have. Now, Shannon, I guess, is just joining us, so she didn't get to hear the Bernie Sanders one. But on my vision board I created at the Southside Library in Oklahoma City at the vision board class, the top left-hand corner had my two heroes and the people I wanted to meet. One of them was Bernie Sanders, and one of them was Pope Francis. And, of course, you know, Shannon and I met Bernie together, and he shook our – and it was just the greatest moment of my life. And we were two schoolgirls, and we were squealing, and it was just fantastic. So, anyway, okay, back to those vision boards again. Sorry, I'm a little – maybe I'll get a little grounded here as we continue to talk. So the idea of the vision board is fantastic. You want the journal? Go ahead. Make sure you take it out every day and look at it at least 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes. I know some people just prefer the journal. You just prefer that idea of having it in a book that you could put away. As long as you're pulling it out and looking at it at least 10 minutes, you're probably fine. But if you're not pulling it out and looking at it at least 10 minutes, it's not going to accomplish what you want. The other thing is, remember to put energy into your vision board. Yes, the act itself is important. You're pulling out the pieces of paper that you want. You're gluing them to the board, taping them to the board, but don't forget to speak the words, you know, so I now bless everything on this vision board so that it may come true, okay? I ask that everything on my vision board manifest, you know, in time. Oh, one time when I was still really early in this part of the journey, I want to say Avery was probably five at most, five, maybe six, And I was just starting, and I couldn't do a full vision board because the kids were still really little, and you have a different life when your kids are little versus when they're a little older. And so I had a notebook, and I wrote in the front of the notebook that everything written in this notebook will come true, that this is a sacred notebook and it's been prayed over, and everything in it will come true. So I go to get it out one day, and I see Avery's gotten in it, and she wrote, "Mom took us to the park and we had a good time," and she had drawn a slide and some swings and stuff. And I was so moved by her creativity and the fact that, you know, she was trying to manifest something. Of course I took them to the park, but I loved it. I mean, I absolutely loved that she did. So you can do a journal. You can do a journal as well. But if you're not getting it out and looking at it, then what's the point? Okay. So the idea of creating, we've spent a lot of time on that, okay? Now let's talk about other effective tools for creating prosperity. Now certainly we've looked at your receptivity. You know, are you open to receiving? That is so important. Now here's something to balance that out. I love being the giver. I do. I love giving. I love blessing. I love, you know, sending love out into the world in whatever way. And so make sure you're not over giving if you're working on your receptivity. Okay, I think that's one of the ways that we can sabotage ourselves some. Because if you're over giving, you know, that's almost as bad as your receptivity being broken. And so, you know, make sure that you're giving in balance to your receiving. In fact, oh, it's been a couple of weeks ago because we don't go there anymore, but I was taking the two older girls after I dropped off Piper because I had like 45 minutes to kill. I was taking them to Chick-fil-A, and Tatum would get a yogurt and Avery would get hash browns. So every morning that was our routine, and we'd go through the line. And one morning the car in front of me paid for mine, and the employee said the car in front paid for yours and said, "God bless you." And I was like, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you." And I thought, oh, yes, I'm receiving, but I immediately turned around and said, okay, I'll pay for the car behind me, which is, of course, more than what mine was. So I ended up being a little out of balance, but that's okay, you know, because it felt good to be the giver. But what I'm saying is watch your giving, okay? Make sure you're not giving too much of yourself and you're not overextending yourself to the point that, you know, your receptivity is out of balance. Okay. So we've talked about the receiving. We've talked about making sure that your receptivity is awake and aware, and you are. Continue to practice that. Practice, you know, saying, yes, I'm willing to receive. Yes, I allow myself to receive. Also, know that you're going to redefine abundance, you know, as you go through here. And this is something I love observing. I love observing this with clients because especially if, you know, the person, when they start seeing me, they're in a really low spot. You know, they're in a really low spot and are trying to, you know, dig their way out of a hole and then, you know, get on to bigger and better things. And so what prosperity means to them changes. And I absolutely love it. I love it when we get to that point because, you know, for the longest time, and I borrowed this from Paula Deen. It was not my saying, but Paula Deen's saying was, prosperity to me meant I could buy groceries on Thursday if payday was Friday, you know, and that was mine. That was definitely mine for a very long time. If I could buy groceries on Thursday, then I was prosperous because that was big. In fact, when our family got to the point where we could buy food any day of the week, I cannot tell you the amount of relief and I felt very wealthy when I could buy food any day of the week, because at no time during the previous, you know, 15 years, 17 years had that been possible. I got sick so early. I got diagnosed with MS when I was 20. So, you know, I had from 18 to 20, okay, and then at 20, you know, we started with the really strong physical disabilities and poverty experiences and so forth. So the time where we got to the point where we could buy groceries any day of the week was just huge. And that was absolute prosperity to us. That was a freedom that we just could not imagine. And then prosperity changed. So it was no longer just, it went from just being able to buy food any day of the week to if we wanted to eat out any day of the week, we could. For years and years, we ate out you know, twice a month basically on the two paydays. So every other Friday. Every other Friday our family would eat out on those days and then no others, you know, because that was such an expensive treat that we only really felt prosperous enough to do it on those Fridays. And so that became a measure of prosperity, okay, that, oh, well, I can eat out any day. And that became really important. And then prosperity changed a lot, you know, for us over the years. And it happens for clients as well. So when I have a client that's first starting out and prosperity just means, you know, I have more money than I have month, that's great. I can buy groceries any day of the week, that's great. I can afford a car payment, that's great. So prosperity changes. Give yourself the time and the space to allow the prosperity definitions to change, because it should change and it should adapt as you do. What you think prosperity represents right now, you know, hopefully in 2 years, you're in a completely different place and your idea of prosperity is even more. It's even more in alignment. Okay, so looking at other tools. Let me unlean my screen back here. Okay, and I feel like I kind of harped on this one a little bit at the start, but you have to feed your soul daily. I mean, you cannot shortcut this. I'm not joking. You cannot shortcut this. And most of the time, you know, when I've heard from a few of you throughout the course, you're like, well, I had all this great momentum going, and I've lost it. I've lost my focus, or I've lost my movement here. And my first question is, what did you use to spiritually nourish yourself today? Oh, well, no, I stopped doing that about a week ago. I stopped doing that 2 weeks ago. There's your problem. I mean, it is absolutely critical. And this isn't just for prosperity. This is for healing. This is for wellness. This is for happiness. This is for joy. This is for well-being. This is for prosperity. This is for relationships. You have to feed your soul daily. If you're feeding your body that day, you need to feed your soul that day, okay? I mean, it's just that simple. You have to. I am always seeking additional resources so that I can make sure I start my day every day with soul food. And for about the past 3 months, every day it's been Marianne Williamson's workshop, A Return to Love. And I'm now to the point where I just keep listening to hours 1 and 2 again and again and again. And so it can be any of them. Get an Audible account for like $14 a month or something. You have you get free downloads, and then you get credits every month for more downloads. So you can always be downloading an audiobook to listen in the car, get a workshop. You know, that Louise Hay, Receiving Prosperity, I listened to that every single day for several years, you know, because I was really interested in making the shift. It can't just be, I do it when I have time. This is something you have to make the time. That's why I make it part of my routine. It goes on the second I get in the shower. And by the time I'm done with my shower, my hair, my makeup, and I'm dressed, it's just about ending. So you need to make it part of your routine, you know, every single day. Play it in the car, even if you're only in the car 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening. You know, that's still going to get you several hours, at least, 3 hours over the course of a work week. So make sure that you're listening to these things every single day, okay? You have to nourish your soul. This is usually where people mess up. Okay, tithing. You know, remember that you have to make sure that the things that you receive, you send out that amount of love into the universe. And I told several of you, I tithe to Bernie a few times over the last few weeks because he does inspire me and he really does nourish my soul. Therefore, I chose to tithe to him. One of my tithes, I bought signs with that money and I gave them away. I gave away a lot of Bernie signs and a lot of Bernie bumper stickers because not only was that my way of supporting someone who was nourishing me, but it was my way of sharing that love and support with others who might not be able to afford a sign. So, you know, there's that. I've tied to my cleaning person before who helps me with my home with, you know, 3 kids. That is no small task. So I've tied to her before. Tithing is your way of saying, I'm so grateful for everything that's come in, and I'm willing to show it by sending it back out into the universe. Okay, so Jana wrote, I have picked up books, and I've been given books to read, so I keep them around to pick up and read whenever I find I have the time, morning, evening, and in the car. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, also you can keep, if you have a phone, iPhone, or a smartphone, most of those have Kindles on them. So you can actually have a couple of books on your Kindle ready to go as well. And that's really, really good as well. Okay. Also, Kay says that when she's doing her corkboard vision board, she puts each desire on a separate piece of construction paper so that the pieces can be easily moved around. Okay, Kay, you were there today. Who else was there today at Morningstar? If you were at Morningstar today, raise your hand or ping me or something so I can see. Today at Morningstar, we had our speaker with Scott Hines from Channel 4. And Scott Hines is the reporter who does the In Your Corner series. Scott Hines took over Brad Edwards' Channel 4 In Your Corner. And so Scott is coming out of the spiritual closet, per se. And so he did one of his very first local talks on this at Morningstar today. And it was really fantastic. And he's going to be, I don't know that I'll do it next week because of the wrap-up session we have for this class, but he's going to be on one of our shows. He's going to be a guest on one of the radio shows we're going to do here, and I'm really excited about that. And also a guest coming up is going to be Archbishop Wise. He's agreed to come on the radio show as well. So the radio show is going to continue. I will start another masterclass. I'm open to suggestions. If you have some suggestions for what you want to study next, I was thinking we could either take prosperity to the next level with prosperity level 2, or we could go consciousness-based, which would include prosperity, but would be about working on your intuition, working on getting connections and all of those things, transformation. So I'm open to your suggestions. If there is something you want to learn in a next master class, let me know, because I'm trying to come up with the next one I'm going to teach. Okay. So soul food, soul food, soul food. Nourishment, nourishment, nourishment. You have to have all these things around so that you can allow yourself to receive. Okay. Now, we spent a lot of time on what do you mean by working in your connections? Oh, intuition? Yes. The working on your connections. So that's your ability to send a message out into the universe. You know, it's me sending something out that I want to manifest, and then my receptivity, my message coming back in. It's sort of like, you know, prayer is you talking to God and meditation is you listening to God. Same kind of thing. Same kind of thing. They work together. You got it uploaded? Yay! Excellent. Okay. Emily has that song ready, so we'll be able to have that in a moment. Okay, so forgot where I was before I read that. And got sidetracked on it. Not where you are, where I was. Oh, the forgiveness part. Remember, the forgiveness part, you know, and that's really what Scott Hines talked about today at Morningstar. He talked about what it was like to be an emotional trauma hoarder, you know, and holding on or hoarding emotional trauma, just holding on to it and letting it build and build and build to the point that you become stuck. And I do think that that's an issue for a lot of people. I think that that's an issue where we think, well, if I made this mistake or I made that mistake, then I just don't deserve to be happy. Okay. And, of course, a lot of that's rooted in our religion. We spend a lot of time there, you know, that you're bad, you're always going to fall short of the glory of God, there's nothing you can do to be worthy of God's love, and you know, all of those things that were made to keep us feeling badly about ourselves and keep us from wanting, you know, to desire a better life, a good life. And if there's one thing you get from this class, I hope it's that you have been misled about what the Bible really says about prosperity. I hope that if I'm going to say there's just one thing really that I just want you to get from this class, this 9-week master class, it is that all of the conditioning and programming that you have been given, whether you grew up in a Christian home or not, because it's the community standard, it's the state standard, it's the American standard, it's the world standard, this idea that you have to suffer to be worthy of God. you know, that you will have your mansion in heaven. Therefore, you know, don't worry if you don't have enough here. I mean, here doesn't matter. You'll get yours, you know, in heaven. If you get nothing else, I want you to get that that is not true. And I want you to get that Christ taught prosperity. He taught well-being. He taught healing. We're the ones that warped it into something else. You know, we're the ones that, that did that. Okay. So the other tools for prosperity, you know, I get to see a lot of tools in action. You know, like I get to see what's working and what's not and what's easiest to grasp and what's not. The moment that you start auto-correcting your programming, okay, and several of you have told me you're here, that the moment you feel like that negative thought train start to take over, right, something in you pulls it back, okay? Something in you will pull it back. And at that point, you know, that's when you realize this is working, the moment you can stop the negative thought train. So much of the way the angels teach me things and show me things, I just want you to know how beautiful it is, because it's come in over the last several years through learning and through offering people guidance, and then the angels would give them guidance to fix the problem, and I was able to see it work. But several years ago, I had she was a stranger. I really didn't know her from Adam. She was someone on Facebook. Well, I'm going to need to Google that statement, didn't know them from Adam. Where did that come from? Is that from Adam and Eve, or where did that come from? Because I use it all the time, and I have no idea. But I use it a lot. But she did this. She wanted a session, and you know, I said, sure, I'll give you a session. And, you know, she had just been, and she had kind of a high-profile life and, you know, had some success and had done some work with some really big-name people. And her boyfriend that she loved dearly and was in love with turned out to be a con man. And she was someone who had a very comfy life and had a great deal of success, but found out that all the investments he was making and all this money he said he was making for her was all a lie. And when the bottom dropped out and she had no money left to get to him, and she's thinking she's wealthy and she's not, he left her. And so one of the days that we were talking, she said, you know, I'm on my knees, literally, Leslie, I'm on my knees, and I'm begging God for help because, you know, I can't help it that all I think about is him day in, day out. I cannot help it that he is all I think about, that my thoughts are about him 24/7. And I got really quiet, and this was something I asked, you know, the angels, not necessarily her, but I did ask her too. But I said, well, if you're not in charge of your thoughts, meaning you're not in charge of what's coming in, then who is? And she got really quiet, and I got really quiet, because I was honestly asking that question. When those autopilot thoughts, you know, those fast thought trains just fly through us, and we're not really consciously thinking of where they're coming from, but they keep, it's almost like they're self-generating, right? Where are they coming from? If you're not in charge of them, who is? Who is in charge of those thoughts? And so the answer that the angels gave was your default vibration. Okay? Your default vibration is in charge of those thoughts. So if your default vibration reflects brokenness or poverty or disease, those thoughts that feel like they're auto-generating, those thought trains that self-generate, they are going to reflect that. They are going to reflect that brokenness. They're going to reflect that state of disease or that state of poverty. And the only way to address those thoughts that feel like they're self-generating is to address the default vibration. How do you do that? You do that by controlling the thoughts the moment they come in, because at that moment you're choosing a different one. And when you choose a different thought enough times, it changes your default vibration. Think of it like you're adjusting an antenna on your TV, okay? And if this one way, if you hold the antenna one way, you get this very specific channel. And so the antenna tends to fall on its own, so it'll fall down, so you can't get the channel. So every time you want to reach, you watch that channel of prosperity, you know, because that's the prosperity, you have to go and you have to grab the antenna and you have to hold it up, okay? And with time, you can fix it so that that antenna stays in that place so that you're always aligning to that channel of prosperity. It's the same thing. But really,
yes, the LB Einstein.
Yes, that is that too. On Pam Grout's book, E Squared, one of the experiments she has you do is the Albert Einstein ones, the Einstein ones. And basically, these are metal coat hangers, and you use a straw that you put the coat hanger in. And then there's like dowsing rods. And so when you're holding the rods and you're thinking negative thoughts and you're thinking about, you know, negative things, the rods contract in and they cross in and they close each other. And when you're thinking about prosperous thoughts, happy thoughts, joyful thoughts, the energy field around you expands. So does the rods. They actually open up. And there are some of these videos on YouTube. I did some of them right after the book came out because I was in love with it. And you can see it. But it's the same idea. You know, if your rods are crossed, then you know that you have some negative thoughts generating. If they're open, then you know you're good. Okay? And it's the same kind of thing. You are the only one who can control your thought processes. Make a conscious effort to do it. Now, here's the thing that I find too. Be prepared to do this. Don't go into it blindly. And let's say that you're really, really worrying about money that week. This is going to be a really tight week. So every time you worry about money, in the middle of the worry, you're trying to think up affirmations. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself at all, okay? Think of those beforehand. Have them written on your phone, on a memo. Have them written on an index card that you keep inside your pocket or your purse or your backpack. Have them ready to handle so that when you need them, you can pull them out, okay? That way, whenever you need those affirmations, you're not having to think them up. All you have to do is correct the thought, you know, correct the thought. Tell it what you want to think. It's the same thing as, you know, the dog that you're teaching a puppy and you're saying sit and he doesn't sit. So you say sit and then you push his little hiney down and you give him a treat. And you do that enough times and then you say sit and he just sits, right? Do that with your thoughts. Wait a minute. I'm saying prosperous if you're choosing poverty. Let me correct you. Good thought form. You make me feel great. Yeah. No. You're choosing poverty again. I said prosperity. Okay. And then you give yourself a treat. It's the same principle. You know, it's the same principle. You are training. You're training. And Kay just wrote, the default vibration just really hit home. Explains a lot. There is I think it's on my website. I wrote it a couple years ago. Actually, no, I put it in this group. It was the Spirit Being Within ebook I wrote a few years ago. And I think I hinted on default vibration in that book. You see, the default vibration is responsible for a lot of things. First of all, it is the very first thing anyone having any type of interaction with you responds to. Okay? So have you ever seen the people that, you know, when you're with them, I mean, they are just nice as can be, but for whatever reason, they rub everybody the wrong way. I mean, and they are just, to you, this is the nicest person, and you really do not understand why they rub everybody the wrong way. It is because something in their default vibration is triggering those people. Okay, something in there is true. Your default vibration is responsible for 90% of the experiences in your life. It's responsible for, unless you're consciously changing your thoughts, it's responsible for probably 100% of your, you know, your thought-generated trains that go through. It's responsible for how you feel on a daily basis, how your body feels, how your energy feels. Here's one I've been playing around with a lot lately. Because the last, you know, couple months have been hard physically on me, and I've had to really focus on, you know, healing and wellness more so than I've had in a while. And so one of the ones that I do is I will be just completely exhausted. I mean, I will be really very tired, and I will tell myself that I will be cognizant of my default vibration, which right now is tired. And I will visualize myself taking my plug and unplugging it from the tired vibration and plugging it into a supercharged vibration. And I spend a few minutes visualizing all that wonderful energy flooding through me, flowing through me, restoring me, making me whole, making me good, making me have lots of energy, and it really and truly works. I've used it many, many times. It will work. When you fix your default vibration, all those things that are controlled by your default vibration will work. Think of it like, you know, your brain is responsible for all kinds of systems in your body. And I'm probably the worst one to do this because, you know, medical intuition, the part I do is energetic. So, but, you know, your brain regulates your heartbeat. You know, it regulates your breathing. You do not have to sit and think about forcing the blood to flow through your veins. You do not have to think about sweating when you get too hot so that you don't overheat. You do not have to sit there and think, oh, body, we should digest that food so we get some nutrients of it. These are things that your default system in your body through your brain automatically does all of these things. Bam, bam, bam. It hits them. It hits them. You have a default vibration in your energy that works the same. So you don't have to think about those default thoughts that come in. You don't have to think about that type of, you know, interaction you're going to have with somebody when your default vibration is running it. You don't have to sit and think about these things because your default vibration is automatically doing it. So what's wrong when your default vibration is broken? You know, it affects all of those things. Absolutely all of them. So we must work on our default vibration. In fact, when people come in for a full two-hour session and they, not the coaching, but the soul healing one, we spend about the first 20 minutes talking about this. And I draw it out on paper and show you the different layers and levels and how all these things could influence it and so forth. So if you come in for a soul healing session, the first 20 minutes is this right here. We talk about what an energy blockage is, what an energy fragment is, what an energy fracture is, what the Hindu call the samskara, I call the energy layers, and what's contained in them is what all of that makes up your default vibration. So your soul fractures, your soul fragments, your blockages, your cords to people, are those healthy cords or unhealthy cords? All those cords, the cordage, okay? And then all of the positive and negative energetic charges inside your personal quantum energy space, we take an inventory of every single thing there, and we have your default vibration. And if you are consciously awake, you should be vibrating at a minimum of 500, which is fifth dimensional energy. Okay, so the default vibration is responsible for a lot. Maybe that's what we should do in the next class, go over all that, because that's something I like to teach to all my soul healing clients that come in. And the information is really valuable. And in fact, many have told me before that right there was worth the session. Just getting that knowledge was worth the session because it helps you identify where you're not flowing. You know, oh, I have a fracture here or a fragment here, or, you know, I have a blockage here. I have a cord. You know, and here's something I see a lot too. And I can say every, but I'm not going to say it's 100% true for all women, but I can say every woman I have worked with that has had breast cancer has had a soul cord coming in to the breast area with a toxic spouse or ex-spouse. 100% of them, every one of them. And it could be an ex, it could be even technically could be a past life, I think, but all of them have had that. So when women come in and we're doing cord work and they have soul cords going into their breasts, I always move them. Always. Always, always, always. We do not want soul cords there. That is just not a good place. And the same thing, by the way, with uterine cancer. And I'm not cervical and not ovarian. I can't find any kind of relations there. But uterine cancer, there's almost always a very challenged relationship, mother to child. And so I have less uterine cancers than breast cancers. So the uterine cancer is more of a theory at this point, but the breast cancer, I can tell you every single one. And there have been quite a few, every single one. So, and all of this affects your prosperity. You know how you can line up three people, okay, and hand all three of them a baseball and say, throw it and hit that target. And they'll some one person might get close, and the other two, they might as well have just rolled the ball as close as that got to it. You know, and why is that? Well, that's because partly their vision, their ability to see the target, maybe they can't see it, maybe they can, their, you know, hand-eye coordination with aiming where they're going to throw the ball, that muscle, you know, with actually throwing the ball, the muscle of the arms, the shoulder rotation, that will affect it, and then practice. You know, have they thrown a ball lately? If this is a professional softball player, she's probably going to be able to hit the target. If she is a, you know, let's say a 85-year-old woman who hasn't held a ball in her life ever, she's probably not going to hit the target. It's the same thing with prosperity. Okay, it's the exact same thing. We can line up three people and all three try to manifest something. And does it hit or not? You know, well, it's going to come down to, first and foremost, your default vibration. Can your default vibration sustain what it is you want to have? Okay? And if it can't, these are the people who can temporarily manifest it, but they lose it right away. Ever heard of the show The Curse of Winning the Lottery? This is them, okay? And I don't like those shows and I don't watch them, but Scott will watch one every now and then and tell me all about it. That's what happened. They caught a momentary alignment. You know, woohoo, I won the lottery. But they didn't do the work. Okay, they never did the work. They just applied, you know, get rich quick over a lot of brokenness. So that default vibration cannot sustain prosperity. Therefore, what does it do? It gives it away. It gives it away. It gives it away. It gives it away. Okay, and so your default vibration must be able to sustain what it is that you want, period. You know, have you ever met someone who sabotages really good, healthy relationships simply because what we would say is, well, she doesn't know how to be happy? Energetically, we would say that her default vibration cannot sustain a happy relationship. Yes, that would actually be great. So, yay, Emily's giving me a water after she choked me. No, she's so sweet. She brings these Cadbury mini eggs and offers me one. And, you know, now I'm just going to make her feel bad for choking me on her little egg. It's just so funny to me that, you know, how crazy that is. Or jobs, Jana just wrote. Yes, absolutely. If you do not have a belief that you deserve that job, if your default vibration does not allow you to have that job, something's going to happen.
And it won't let you get the next job that you want if you haven't worried.
That's right.
I might change my career because I changed my default vibration.
That's right. Do you want to talk about it real quick?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. Emily wants to tell you her story of her job career change.
Hi, everyone. Oh, this is so good. I have all these headphones on. Anyways, yes, I worked really hard with Leslie through coaching sessions and just outside of them. I was in the mental health field for 5 years and in a career that at first I thought that's really what I wanted, but it turns out it just drained me too much. And you know, it took a while, but I kept moving up. I moved from one mental health job to the next. The second one was, the atmosphere was really great. Everyone was really nice. It just wasn't what I wanted to do. So I just kept on. I'd send myself emails during the day and just typing out my affirmations over and over and over again to help me, you know, get through the day and do different things. And that's how I was able to change my career. And, you know, go into being in the jewelry industry, you know, with being a goldsmith apprentice, and which is what I really, you know, found out after my mom passed away that I really wanted to do. And it did. It took me a while, but it really paid off. And I have to say, I've never taken as big of a risk as it was, you know, changing careers like that. And the way I did it was I gave a 90-day notice for my current job, but really things, and I don't know if I would recommend it in every situation, but sometimes you do have to just release what's currently bogging you down so that you can release that energy and get yourself to the next level. I just kept working on my affirmations and my vision board and all of those things. And, you know, 2 weeks before my last day at my job, I had an interview and got offered the job, and I started the day after my last day at my last mental health job. The next day, I started my first day in the jewelry business, and so it's really, really powerful, and I don't know, I think the key for me changing careers was all about changing my default vibration, and I've just noticed things in my life are a little bit different now that I've changed it, and so now I'm working on the next vibration upgrade, so it's a process, you know? Yes, but anyway.
Yay!
I hope I made sense, but here's Leslie back.
You did fabulous. It is fabulous. She really did. And as the observer in that, I can tell you that it took a real act of faith. And she had some moments where she was really tested in that faith and finding that new job. And it all fell into place perfectly. I mean, it was very beautiful to watch. And then to watch her, because, you know, many of you know, Emily is my adult adopted daughter. You know, I adore her. She's fabulous. And I could not imagine, you know, her not being part of my life or her not being, you know, part of my work even. Watching her struggle through that was, for me, almost easy to get caught up in it because she was getting worried. And, you know, I'm looking at her going, you've got this, you know. And it fell into place so beautifully. So I watched someone that was a very miserable person. And she was, and I say that with love as I'm looking at her going, I love you, but I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
She was so unhappy every single day because she hated her job, hated it. And the ability to just function as a happy spirit being was being affected and even compromised because of this job. And so watching her do this, and then watching her go to a job that she genuinely loves has been very cool. But not only that, in fact, several people at Morningstar today commented on the bracelet I had on, and that's an Emily Ann design. It's one that she made that said, love is greater than fear. And, you know, several people had commented about that bracelet, and I pointed out this was an Emily Ann design. It was made for me, and it was. And so, you know, not only is she now in a job where she loves what she does, right? She loves going to work. To hear her talk about it, it's about going to do something that she loves. But also, it's given her the confidence and experience and time to launch her own business. I was trying to combine jewelry and business, and it came out something really weird there. Sorry, but her own jewelry business, Emily Ann Designs, and so. Watching her go through that and watching just her on this process has been amazing, and it proves to me as if I needed more proof, but it does prove to me that this works. And yes, so that was the one thing. She had to manifest a new job where she could be happy. That was step one. Step two has been launching into her own jewelry business, and that's the shift she's making right now. So, you know, that's where she is right now, and she's making it. She trusts the process a little more now because it's worked for her successfully in the past, and, you know, she's doing really well with it. So watching her do that has been fabulous. It really and truly has. Jana wrote, yes, for someone who has never had a job that she enjoyed except for my own store, maybe affirmation is the key. You can be happy at a job you don't necessarily love. You can, but what you can't be is miserable, okay? You have to find some part of that job that you like. I remember years ago, and when I was working for child welfare, and I was really, my health was right on the verge of, it was collapsing. I wasn't rock bottom yet because I was still trying to work, but I was so close to the point where I could not function anymore. And back then, and I don't think she does these anymore, but you could get an email reading, one question only, from Cindy Green. And it wasn't expensive. It might be maybe $45 or something. I can't quite remember what it was. And so I wrote to her and said, I hate my job. What do I do? You know? And she wrote back, you know, this has nothing to do with your job. You're in a spiritual crisis. And, you know, she told me that I was where I was supposed to be and I needed to stay there and that this was a spiritual crisis, not a job crisis. Well, in a way, that was the right advice because I had leave and insurance I could, you know, use when my health did collapse about 6 weeks later. So if I would have quit that job and gone to another job, you know, I wouldn't have had that foundation I needed. So, yes, that part was right. And it absolutely was a spiritual crisis. So, you know, she was right there, too. I never should have been at child welfare to begin with. But here's the deal. All day, every day, I see people that work in jobs that they don't necessarily like. If you can find something about that job to hold on to the positive until you can manifest something else, it makes it happen faster. But if every single day you go to work just hating that job and hating life and hating that job, it becomes your default vibration. Therefore, you get stuck. You know, you get stuck. And Jana, I think that because I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with you, I think that you need to practice feeling excited and let that come across for whatever the job is. You know, your personality, I love your personality because it's chill. I absolutely love it. You know, and we Jana and I went to Ladies Night Out together Friday night, so we even got to be more chill. But I think that for the next interview you go to, be excited for them, you know. And I know you're chill, and you can be chill on the job, but kind of act excited that you're all about whatever it is they do. And show them your enthusiasm and see what that does. Because and if you were being too, and I've told people the exact opposite too, by the way, you're too enthusiastic, you've got to chill. You know, you've got to calm down. Sometimes what we have to do is balance ourselves out. You have a chilled personality, you know. At the things that we do, you don't come across as really hyper, you know. You come across as the mom in the background taking care of things. So balance yourself out this time by being really enthusiastic and super excited and see what happens. Sometimes we got to just balance our own selves out. Okay, I keep trying to check the Facebook page and check things that I'm looking at here to see if there's any more chatting. Okay, so yes, maybe I think that is the next class we'll do. We will do all of that. We'll do, you know, the entire makeup of the soul and the ways that it, your default vibration and the ways that you can break and all that. We'll just do all of that for the next class. And it will, of course, include prosperity, but it will also include your intuition, prayers going up, meditation coming down. Which reminds me, keep checking Facebook because that same library that I did the vision board class, I'm going to do a meditation class with them later this month. Mm-hmm. And then I will be working Cindy Green Spirit Fair at the end of this month as well. Mm-hmm. So keep watching for those announcements because they will be coming. And then I definitely want to get Scott Hines on the show and get him in the door so we can see what all he has to say to us as well. Okay, so prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Do you feel like you've just had it? Okay, prosperity, I know, I get it, I know, I get it. You've pounded into my brain for 8 weeks now. Does it feel like things have shifted for you? You know, you can send me an email, you can write it in the Facebook group, write it in the chat room, doesn't matter to me. But do you feel like things are shifting? One of the things I'm hearing from a lot of you is this. I will notice when those thoughts come in, you know, those negative thoughts. And I can correct them, not all of them, but I can correct several of them. And what I want to say to you is the moment you realize that's happening, you are really somewhere, okay? You are really somewhere because that is critical for what we're talking about. You have to recognize that your thoughts are going where you don't want them to go before correcting them is even a possibility. That's why have corrective statements, your new programming on, you know, index cards, your phone, a piece of paper, put it on your mirror. Have it accessible to you at all times. That way you're not having to think up these affirmations on the fly. You have a way to correct yourself. Okay? The more you do that, the easier it will become. And then with time, what will happen is instead of having to correct those negative thoughts, the positive ones will come in, you know. So you'll automatically be thinking, everything's going to go my way. you'll automatically be thinking, you know, I have a great life and I love it. You will automatically be thinking about how amazing things are, you know. And so Shannon wrote, she's not seen a shift in the bank account, but she is very prosperous with new like-minded friends. Well, prosperity, you know, begins with how we feel. And so feeling like you're connected to people that you, that get you and that have similar beliefs to you is a really important first step to prosperity. You know, it really is. And, you know, with my job, I get to see people on both ends of the spectrum here. You know, and I do. I know people right now, you know, that maybe they're in the class or maybe they're just people that do other things that I do on Facebook. Friends, I know for a fact that they worry about buying food. I know for a fact that they worry about having enough to eat, that they have so little money, okay? And yet I have clients on the other end. I have he's really a great person. I really do like this new client I have, but that, you know, kind of fell into money, lots of money. And he's not happy at all right now either because of other things. So problem, and it's not. You know, prosperity isn't about money. It's about feeling good. And so what I've noticed is we can have problems in our lives whether we have $1 million or $1. You know, we need to, by starting to find people who love you and support you that are like-minded, that is a great foundation for prosperity. You know, prosperity begins with connections. And so, yes, it doesn't surprise me at all if, you know, if these friendships and these connections start laying a foundation for even more prosperity, you know, for even more. You know, and then Kay wrote, she's in the same place as Shannon. Jana wrote, I feel a shift in energy, and I don't have as much of a knee-jerk reaction than I used to. Yes. And then Shannon wrote, I chose between making money or spiritual food this weekend, and I chose spiritual food. I get to make that decision a lot, you know, because I have a lot of people contact me for, like, rushed readings or emergency readings, and, you know, I could go do them and make money, or I could be home to help Piper with her homework or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I choose family every day except Tuesdays because I'm in agreement that I work late that night, but every day but Tuesdays. That's what I do. You know, about those knee-jerk reactions, and, oh, I hope I don't go overboard with this, but I feel like we need to go there because that's something that's just going on right now that we all need to be aware of. The stuff going on with Donald Trump and the hate is something that we all need to be really mindful of, okay? Because it is having a really strong influence on the energy of lots and lots of people. Now, started a group for law of attraction practitioners, people who are prayer warriors, people who hold a vision. And it's a group where you just make the agreement that every day you're going to visualize Bernie Sanders as our president. Every day you're going to see him winning debates and caucuses, and you're going to see him being elected, see him being the nominee, then see him being elected. Okay? I really got the message after this weekend that that's not enough, that we really need to start doing more to heal the hate that is in the hearts of so many people. And I read a letter earlier that I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. But I certainly thought a lot of it was true. Some of it wasn't, but a lot of it was true. And I don't remember where I found the letter. I'd go get it and read it to you now. But it was a letter from a hardcore Republican written to the Republican Party, okay? And this guy was probably in his 70s, and he had been a diehard Republican for his entire life, had always voted Republican, given Republicans money. And basically he wrote, you know, look, here's the deal. I want you to imagine that you have a basement full of raccoons and they're destroying your home. And you called this exterminator. He came over. He couldn't do anything about it. You called this guy. He came over. He couldn't do anything about it. And your home is being destroyed. Okay. And then all of a sudden you've got this other guy across town and he guarantees you success. He guarantees you that he can get rid of those raccoons that are destroying your home and making it horrible. And at this point, you don't care. You don't care if he's an idiot. You don't care if he's racist. You don't care
if he's a total jackass. You don't care if he engages in hate speech. You don't care about any of that. All you care about is that he can get the dang raccoons out of your basement. So this was his letter, okay? And the so I do agree to the extent that people are so tired of politics as usual. We are so sick of you smiling to us one way and then, you know, knowing it's a facade. And then, you know, doing whatever you want behind closed doors. We are sick of that. So that part of his letter, I get. Now, I'm choosing Bernie for my political revolution, but I get his letter to that extent. Now, the problem is he immediately lost me because the raccoons to him are illegal immigrants. The raccoons to him are people that are coming into this country illegally and running up the welfare system, which is not true. Okay, not true at all. But this is his belief. Therefore, he says, I don't care if Trump is a racist. I don't care if he hates gay people, black people, women, Asian people, Latinos. I don't care who he hates as long as he gets rid of the problem. It's what these people have decided. And that's why they're following, you know, Donald Trump. We really do, as light workers and light holders, if just, you know, a couple times a day, envision this beautiful white light wrapping around Earth and bringing people to a place of peace. That's it. You know, 20 seconds of your day, three times a day is what I'm asking. So I'm asking for 60 seconds here. 60 seconds, you know, 20-second intervals. Envision this beautiful white light wrapping around Earth and it bringing peace. And the angels have pointed out repeatedly that Donald Trump is doing us a favor because we have some very broken and angry people, and he's bringing them to the surface so that they can be healed. So that they, you know, it's hard to heal something in the darkness, you know, when it's hidden behind closed doors. It's hard to heal that. So he is bringing this thing to the front, okay? So if you would just, you know, three times a day, 20 seconds a pop, 60 seconds total, just envision peace. Envision the people right now that are looking to him because they're so angry. You know, send them love. Send them love. You know, remember it was Dr. King who said that hate cannot drive out hate. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only love can heal hate. And only light can drive out the darkness. We are light workers. We are light warriors. This is our job. This is what we're called to do. So keep holding the visualizations for President Sanders, right? That's what we're saying here, President Sanders. But also let's pray for our fellow humans, you know, our brothers and sisters that are so very broken, you know, that they're responding to a man that is showing their brokenness. Let's pray for them. Let's send them love. Okay, let's send them love because they do need it. And in honor of Dr. King and his legacy, that's what today the message was to do, to send all of them love. And that is really hard to do when you start seeing the, you know, the Hitler-like poses from the rallies and you know, all of the hate. And you hear the stories of the people that were attacked and Donald Trump saying he'll pay any of your legal bills if you beat up protesters that come to his rallies. You know, so maybe we don't watch that stuff so that we can hold a vision of love for them, okay? We have to be the light workers here, the light holders. So remember that as you benefit another person, you benefit you. So hold love for them and receive love for yourself, okay? All right, so, you know, we're being called to help. We're light workers. It's our job to stand up, so let's do it. So, these are all the tools, and that's what this week's class was about, vision boards and about tools. Any tool that you can use, you know, and guess what? Money is a tool. Money is a tool that can be used for prosperity. Money is merely a tool. It's like your car. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. You know, I can use my car to go to the doctor. I can use my car to go run people over. Mm-hmm. Money's the same way. Money is merely a tool. I can use it for good or I can use it for evil. Right now, you know, Donald Trump may have a lot of money, but is he using it for good? No. Bernie Sanders doesn't have a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's the poorest congressman we have, but what he has, he's using for good. See the difference? It has nothing to do with how much money you have. Money is just a tool. That's it. Okay? The whether or not, you know, the prices at stores, you know, those are tools as well. One of the things that you can do, one of the exercises I love also, since we're on tools, came from Abraham. And it's one, I think I might have talked about it at some point in one of the radio shows. My mom was trying to tell me this lesson from Abraham, and she said, well, you pretend like you have $100 in your pocket. And you go throughout the day saying, well, I could buy this, but I choose not to. And I'm thinking, well, why is that a tool for prosperity? That sounds to me like it's a tool for not wanting things, but whatever. So I finally get the book, The Law of Attraction by Abraham Hicks. And the point was that you spend the $100 bill many, many times throughout the day and it instantly replicates. That's the exercise. And so my mom was doing it wrong, which I thought was really funny. And I called her and said, hey, you totally messed that up. And she's like, sorry, sorry. So, you know, and if you have a problem where you buy a lot of things that, you know, you don't need, maybe that is the way you do the tool, right? But when you go into a store, remind yourself, and I do this all the time in a store, I can easily afford anything I want in here. I can easily afford anything I want in here. When you pay a bill, if you're struggling with money that week, write paid with ease on the memo line, okay? And if you're not, then you write paid with love. Every time I endorse a check, every time I deposit a check, I write with gratitude on the back of it. For deposit only, with gratitude. And I even, out of habit, put a heart on it, too. And, you know, every time I post it on Facebook, somebody says, oh, well, my bank would never accept that. And they list the bank. And it's usually the same bank I use. And they always accept my checks like that. I've never had a problem depositing a check that I wrote for deposit with gratitude on it. Not even once, not even a little bit. Okay? So the tools are what you use to create the prosperity that you want. You know, money's a tool. There's been a scam going around since the Gulf War about the Iraqi dinar, if you've ever heard of that scam going around, that lots of servicemen and women spent their entire life savings buying the Iraqi dinar, because what happened when Kuwait was occupied by Iraq, their money went way down, people that bought it up. Then whenever their power, their autonomy was restored in the first Gulf War, their money revalued. So, you know, people made hundreds of thousands and millions by buying the Kuwait money when it was low. Everyone expected that to happen with Iraq. The problem is that, you know, it couldn't because of, you know, the reasons that the money were devalued were different. Iraq had a dictator that was sentenced to death, right? It's not that someone came in and took over their country. Iraqis don't even use the dinar. So anyway, a lot of people, you know, that there was a tool. You know, it was a tool that if you could invest in it, great. And if you couldn't, then you probably shouldn't, because it was a tool that was a gamble. It's kind of like putting your money in a slot machine. Shannon wrote, what if I pay everything online? Sometimes there's a memo line and you could type it in there. But, you know, if you don't have if you write it in your checkbook, you know, like I write it in my register, paid online, I might write it with the register part, you know, paid with love or paid with ease. Or when I send it, when I hit send, I'll say, you know, paid with ease as I hit send. And so the energy is what's important. You know, so if you do it online, you know, say it out loud when you send it or write it in your register as such. You know, as long as the intent is there, that's all you got to worry about. The intent is everything. Okay, guys, we're about 20 minutes over, so we can go ahead. I got sidetracked on the soul healing stuff. And then, so that will be the next class. I'll start working on a format for it, for what we're going to do. And I was actually thinking about writing the author of the Abundance Code book, Julie Ann Cairns, and asking if she would like to come on the radio show. I don't know if she would or not, but she might. Okay. So, and also, because we had such a lovely time at the release, the full moon release, I think we're going to do that every few months. So I will you know, be posting it on Facebook. So watch for that. If you came and you want to come again, or if you didn't get to come and you want to come, watch for that, because it's good. Shinarit, what did we do with the three quotes from last week? They're for you. I mean, you can, let's share them in the group. Let's share them in the group, and we'll put them as part of our review. But the quotes are for you. You know, as most everything else is, it's for you. It's for you. So if you have your quotes, post them on this thread, the one we're chatting on right now on Facebook. Post your quotes there, and then next week, week 9, is our wrap up, where come with any questions you have over any part of the course. Okay, come with any questions you have over any part of the course, and then you know, anything else that you have, bring that as well. And if you want to, you know, stay with, oh, I want to do the full moon release, I want to do that again, you know, let me know for sure. Let me know. And we're going to, I was thinking every 3 months we'd do a full moon release here at my house. And that is, I was talking to someone the other day, I can't remember who, oh, I remember who it was now. It was a new client. And, you know, he was talking about doing some, you know, paying a whole lot more money to have sessions done over the phone from intuitives in other states. And he lives here in Oklahoma. And he had told me that he had paid like $500 to one to have one thing done, and, you know, like $350 to another one to have something done. And he was a little worried about my prices were so low. You know, and this guy is older, professional, you know, definitely has been around. I think he's gone out of state several times to different healing venues. I know he's been to Sedona and stuff. So, you know, he said that my fees were so much less than what he was used to paying that, you know, he almost didn't give me a chance because of that, because he thought that, you know, he would need to pay at least $500 an hour for what he wanted. So anyway, he read the testimonials on my website, and he said that he figured that if people would write that about me, that it was worth a try. And I said, okay, thank you very much for that. And he asked me, well, what would you say is the one thing that's different between you and, you know, the other intuitives that are $500 an hour? And I would say, well, it's just that I want relationships with my clients. You know, for a long time you came here to my house for your session. You know, now I have an office, but that's only been in the last year. And I, you know, for my students, we're coming right into my home for food and, you know, friendship and fellowship and then the full moon release. You know, it's a relationship thing for me. It's not about strangers over the phone that you talk to once and, you know, then you move on. So I hope that comes across to all of you. I hope that it does, because that's certainly what I want it to be. I know I'm really lousy about sometimes returning emails and Facebook messages, but it's just because there's so many, and then I get, you know, then they get buried, and then it takes me several days to get to them, which is why we did the group, so that other people could help answer as well. So I hope that comes across. I hope that, you know, this class has come across that I do generally and truly care about you and about your prosperity. And I want to see you successful. You know, I don't want to just see you do the class so I can say, oh, I had 40 people in my class. No, I want 40 thriving people. You know, I want to see you happy. I want to see you successful. I want to see you prosperous. That's my goal. My goal is not, you know, the numbers game on how many, you know, people I can see. My goal is how many lives can we help? How many people can we touch? How much, you know, good can we do? That's always been my goal. So I hope that comes across. Okay? All right, everyone. So in the group, post your three quotes from last week, and then we've got it, and we will continue until next week. And then Shannon wrote, only when we change our own heart can we change the hearts of others. Be the change you wish to see in the world. If you want to help the whole world, enlighten yourself. Yes, I agree with all of that. Starts with the heart, doesn't it? It starts with the heart. And, you know, and Jana said, I always say I knew you before I knew of you. Your friendship is far more important. Thank you. One of the things that I said to a group, you know, this weekend, I can't remember which thing I was where, because this was a really busy weekend. But, you know, one of the things I said is that if you go to, like, professional standards for intuitives and what I do, you know, and even some of the best American psychic standards that they have, you know, they discourage you from ever forming any kind of personal relationship with your client. That this is to be, you know, very, very structured, and you are not to chat with them or visit with them or speak with them. You certainly aren't supposed to, you know, hang out with them or have them into your home. You know, that this is meant to be a very structured thing, because you are not here to build personal relationships with your professional clients. And it's true. Most do not. Most do not. That is very true. You know, and I get that to an extent, that I would much rather have relationships with people where we're all flocking like birds together, where we're lifting each other and where we're helping each other, and where my success inspires your success and your success inspires her success and her success inspires their success. And it is about connection, connectedness. It is about coming together. And I would never want to do this job if it meant I couldn't care. And I would never want to do this job if it meant that I couldn't value the relationships I have as well as the clients I have. So there you go. And then Shannon, jumping up and down like schoolgirls about our success. Yes, we did. We did. And I'm grateful that no one filmed that, because, yeah, when we saw Bernie, we were acting like we were 14 and he was Adam Levine. We were holding each other, and we were just, oh my gosh. And we were just, I had tears, and it was just amazing. And Shannon had tears, and she's saying, don't cry. And I'm going, I can't help it. And it was just so amazing, because it was a moment I will never forget. And I am grateful I got to share it with Shannon, because it will live forever. And like, you know, those top five moments of your life ever, it's up there, because that was amazing. And I can tell you, there was no mask. There was no mask. He did not have a mask on. He let me see right to his soul. No one does that anymore in that type of position. No one does it. I can't get through, you know, Hillary's third level of masks. You know, and Donald Trump, forget it. He's got so many masks I can't see. And, you know, Bernie Sanders, yes, his third eye was wide open. No mask whatsoever. I could see straight to his soul. I could see his heart center. I could see his third eye. I could see his crown. I could see every part of him and know emphatically he believes every single word he says. And that it was magnificent, and it was amazing. And it was just something that will forever, forever be with me. So, okay, guys, have a fantastic Sunday night, and have a great week, and let's kick this one out so we can get started on the next one. Our wrap-up is next week, okay? All right, guys, have a great night. Talk soon. Namaste. Oh, we wanted to play our song. Let's play our song as we end.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. You have to find it.
I'll play.
Okay, this is our end. Listen to this great
There's
song.
A few minutes of this one.
Your journey as a conscious creator begins now. Join us in these affirmations to see miracles unfold in your life.
Everything.
I am now becoming all that I am intended to be. I move beyond past limitations and into freedom now. I now go beyond the fears and limitations of both myself and others. It is only change, and I am ready. I am safe in the universe, and all life loves and supports me. Life supplies all my needs in great abundance. I trust life. I live in a loving, abundant, and harmonious universe, and I am grateful. I have unlimited choices. Opportunities are all around me. I embrace my full power, and it is safe for me to be powerful.
I think big, and then I allow myself to accept even more good from life.
I am always healing. My body is always in an active state of healing and alignment.
I radiate success and prosper wherever I turn.
Healing is my divine right.
Prosperity is my divine right.
I give myself the gift of freedom from the past, and I move with joy into the now.
I prosper now.
I heal now.
All of my relationships are loving, healthy, and harmonious.
I am a gracious receiver, and I now open my arms to receiving the infinite blessings of the universe.
I now step fully into the role of being a conscious creator in my own life. I know my words and thoughts are powerful beyond measure, and I use them wisely.
I create the life I desire, and I now create a life filled with prosperity,
wealth,
happiness,
joy,
health,
love,
peace,
passion,
fulfillment,
and purpose.
And so it is.